Here with head coach Jay Lewis of the men's baseball team here on the Tiger Sports Network, talking about the 2010 season upcoming. First of all, coach, thanks for taking some time with us. Obviously, with all the snow on the ground, it's hard to believe that baseball is just right around the corner, but exciting times ahead, the trip down to Winter Haven, Florida, and hopefully a lot of wins for the Tigers this upcoming season.
Yeah, we're actually looking forward to going to Florida with all the snow on the ground, just to get outside, see some green grass, run around out there in the Florida sun.
Coming off a year last year, 18-21, 7-9 in the North Coast Athletic Conference's West Division, a lot of players returning from that team, a lot of hungry players, I imagine, because of the fact that it was an up-and-down campaign a year ago. I guess that's where we'll begin our conversation. It seemed like at times this team turned the corner, and then there were some tough losses along the way. Your evaluation of last year and really what you expect the players to have learned from the 2009 season?
I think they learned a lot that they can do a lot better. I think we underachieved. I think our pitching at times last year kind of got us in trouble, that then we had to force our offense to score a bunch of runs. You know, we had some injuries here and there to where our defense had to change, that it wasn't just consistent. You know, we did get on a good stretch once we got back from Florida. Seemed like we got everybody healthy, and then, you know, we had a real bad weekend at Denison. But I look for some different things out of our guys this year. I think they are a year older. They have that, I guess, year under their belt, though, that they learned a lot of things then, that hopefully, you know, coming into this year, their spirits will be a little bit better. They won't hang their head when something bad happens. They'll know how to play through that, and hopefully we'll have a lot more success.
You alluded to the pitching. That's where most of your senior leadership lies. Six seniors, and a majority of them are coming either as starters or out of the bullpen. Talk a little bit about that group, what you expect to see in terms of leadership, as well as what you expect to see on the mound here for your fourth years.
You know, I know, especially with Bobby Siuki and Joel Ostheimer being, you know, two starters that have really been in our rotation since their freshman year. I think last year for both of them, they kind of had to fight through some things at times that they learned a lot, even in their junior campaign, that they can take and you know, grow from for their senior year. They both had a really good fall. They've had a good, you know, preseason so far right now, that, you know, we are expecting a lot out of those guys. And, you know, you should be able to expect, you know, more out of your seniors. You know, Darren Moomaw out of the bullpen, he's been kind of a workhorse for us for a few years now. I don't think that's going to change at all. But, you know, we are expecting those senior pitchers to kind of lead things for our younger guys, that you know, they can kind of grow along with them, and hopefully for years to come, that it will help.
As far as some of the younger guys who will start to fill in either other spots in the rotation, I know the bullpen graduated or lost a couple of key cogs from a year ago. Who do you expect to really fill in those shoes coming in either in middle relief or at the back end of the bullpen?
Right now, you know, Zach Springs probably our third starter. He was in a rotation last year. Our fourth guy right now, just due to some injuries, is kind of up in the air. I think we'll figure that out hopefully down on spring break. Given some other guys some opportunities. You know, if you would have asked me this last week, I probably would have said, you know, probably three different names coming out of our bullpen. But right now, you know, guys that have been very consistent that we look for, you know, be middle relief or longer relief. I know Kevin Toll, who's a freshman, Zach Clark, who's a freshman, as a left-handed pitcher that might work into the rotation. But Matt Rupert, who's a sophomore, has a good chance. Brad Pruitt, Chris Tabler, and Jordan Kegler all are guys that just recently, you know, came down with a few injuries that we're not sure how much they'll be back soon or later. So, but we have some guys. I think even Sam Clement, maybe even an Andy Sherrick or an Ethan Sharpen could fill in as well out of the bullpen. So it sounds like we have a lot of guys that we can kind of throw out there. Again, I think, you know, they're going to have to earn some opportunities, that they may get a chance, and, you know, they have to take advantage of those.
Speaking of other positions where the Tigers are looking to fill in some shoes in the infield, there's been a rotation that has begun to develop. Talk a little bit about who you expect to really fill in around the infield. A.J. Bush behind the plate is going to be one of your leaders in terms of experience, but who do you really expect to fill in at the other four infield positions?
You know, A.J., being a senior catcher, I know him and Jason Haney, I look to probably split most of the time behind the plate. At first base, kind of made a couple little moves. Zach Spring, we've still been training him at first base. He may get some time there. We've really moved him to right field for right now. And Ray Noe has kind of came in more on a permanent basis to first base. But Matt Hamp has looked well over there as well. And, you know, at second, it's kind of funny that we could be a merry-go-round of guys at second, short, and third, depending on what we want to do. You know, if we want to throw our best defense out there, you know, it could very well be Zach Daniels as a freshman at second. It could be Grant Goodwin at short and Joe Kegler at third, or it could be Goodwin at third. It could be Kegler at short and Daniels there, or Yednock at second, Yednock at third. There's just a lot of different scenarios that we could throw out there, depending on what we want to do. If we want to put our best defense out there or our best offense. And a lot of it may be on a rotational basis. It could be on a platoon basis that, hey, we're going to go try to score runs early, play our defense late, or vice versa. So I guess we have some options is what I guess I'm saying. But we have a good group of young middle infielders that I think are going to do a really good job for us.
Part of a crop of nine freshmen on the Tigers squad. Stephen Kegler, a all-first-teamer last year in the North Coast Athletic Conference, wielded a pretty strong bat last year for you guys. What has he been able to improve on in the offseason, and how is he going to be a guy that you really look forward to provide some leadership both on and off the field this year?
You know, right now I think if he could just match what he did last year, I think that would be tremendous. He needs to be that consistent key in the middle of our lineup, have some good quality at bats. I know at times, you know, he did hit a lot of, you know, powerful home runs that were great, but I think sometimes that gets into him a little bit more and he tries to do too much. He's a great gap-to-gap hitter. I would love it if he would lead the conference in doubles instead of trying to maybe lead it in home runs, just because I think that's going to do a lot more for us offensively than, you know, a single-run home run would do. I think he would probably drive in a lot more runs. So I think for him, he needs to just stay, you know, stay what he's good at, you know, not try to jump out of a shell and be somebody he's not. He'll get his home runs will come, you know, they'll probably be gap shots that he does it with. But, you know, I think he just needs to be consistent at the plate. He's been one of our better infielders. So, you know, I think, again, being consistent there, being able to make the routine plays.
You lose an outfielder in Patrick Williams, who had been a mainstay in this program for 5 years. I guess now the question becomes, where do you begin to fill in? I know you talk about Zach Spring maybe moving out to right field. Where are the other outfield positions going to come from, and are we going to see some newcomers out there as well?
Probably we'll see some new faces out there, at least trying to figure out what is going to be the best combination out there. I think in our whole outfield crew, they're all going to be able to run the ball down. They're going to be able to throw it to where hopefully defensively we can be very consistent. Going to see who's going to hit, who's not, lefty versus righty type scenarios. But, you know, Zach right now, if we had to play today, Zach would probably be in right field for us. Nick Van Dyne, who's a freshman, would probably be in center. And probably Corey Winter would be in left. That could all change depending on what we wanted to do, to where we could put Ray Noe, who's at first, out to the outfield. He's been a really good center fielder for us at times, or left fielder. Ethan Sharpen, who's a freshman, has shown some good stuff. I know Andy Payton has come along very well here lately. Sam Clement's been out there in the outfield. So, again, we have some options. I really think, you know, after the week in Florida, we'd be able to tell a lot more of, okay, where we're going with who's playing where, and it'd be consistent lineup. They kind of got to play their way into their roles a little bit.
Talking with head coach Jay Lewis of the baseball team heading into the 2010 season, which kicks off on March 7th, a doubleheader against the Trine Thunder down at the Russ Matt Invitational in Winter Haven, Florida. Talk a little bit about the competition we'll see down there, as well as some of the other non-conference teams we'll see, because a lot of very good regional teams. The Great Lakes is a hotbed for good baseball, and you're going to get to see some pretty good teams down in Winter Haven.
Yeah, start off with Trine. We're playing Albion College from Michigan the second day. Play Webster from Missouri. Then later in the week, or in the middle of the week, play Baldwin Wallace and King's College out of Pennsylvania and Mount Union. So very much good competition within our region. Trying to do that, just that we have some consistent opponents to match ourselves up to, that, you know, I know all those OAC schools that we'll play when we come back up north, we'll all play those people. So it'll be very good to kind of, I guess, judge ourselves once we get back of, you know, what we expect, I guess, for the rest of the year. But it should be very good competition. All those schools have played pretty consistent through their seasons in the previous campaign last year. So look for some good competition while we're down there.
And then once you turn to the North Coast Athletic Conference schedule, it kicks off on March 20th and 21st at Earlham at McBride Stadium out in Richmond. Same old, very deep North Coast Athletic Conference West. Ohio Wesleyan has been picked to be the team to beat, but Denison, Wabash, you guys looking to be in the mix as well. What's your assessment of this NCAC West division?
Consistent, you know. I think we've always had four teams that could win this side. If you look at it, we haven't had one team just go through and dominate it like maybe the East does with Worcester. I think for us, it's, you know, we've got really three huge weekends, but really you got to say you got four huge weekends. The Earlham weekend, you can't look past it. And I think that's the one thing that we're going to try to do this year is play each game for each game. You know, we're not going to look past and think, oh, hey, what are these guys doing? What have they done? We got to play each game for each game and not think, oh, well, we got to sweep here. We got to take three out of four here. We just play each game on each day and see if we can and go through it. And, you know, we get to the end. Hopefully we'll be a number one seed, you know, going into, you know, our conference tournament, which, you know, I think it's changed a lot, you know, as far as getting the top four teams in and now playing a double elimination tournament. I like that format a lot better.
You allude to that double elimination. It changes the format which has been used for the past few years, which is the semifinals. You take on the first place team in the West, takes on the second place team in the East, and vice versa. Now we go to a four-team double elimination. Pretty much every other conference in the region takes on that format. And then, of course, in the NCAA regionals, it's that same format as well. You say you like it. What's your rationale for that?
You know, for one, I think it's the fairest way to figure out who your champion's going to be. The best two out of three, you know, you're having to go on the road. Now we're on a neutral site, so you can't think that one ballpark could change a series. Plus, I think you're going to have some depth in your pitching. You know, you can't just have two horses and go to the next series. If you play a double elimination format, if you lose a game, you may have to fight your way out of the loser's bracket. If you win a couple games, you still have to pitch that third game. So do you save your best guy and try to squeak by with your two and three? So I think it just adds some depth in the series. It shows more depth in your team. And I like it just because when we did have that format, we've always had some success with it. So get back to some normalcy with that, I guess.
The departure of Earlham from the North Coast Athletic Conference, with baseball as well as tennis, the only two sports in the North Coast Athletic Conference that have divisional play, it changes things up dramatically, Coach. Talk a little bit about what you anticipate happening next year, because it's going to be down to nine teams, so the conference is naturally going to have to change some of their plans.
Yeah, I know we talked as coaches last week as far as what we were thinking of doing, mainly just for a year of thinking what are we going to do, because we have unequal divisions now, and knowing that maybe the weaker school left, and now we have four really good teams, you know, kind of beating each other up. We were looking more towards going to a round robin, playing every school again. Again, going back to even my earlier years here of playing everybody, you know. So you're playing Allegheny and Worcester and Oberlin and Hiram again. And Kenyon we've played here in the past just because they're the closest one. You know, to renew some of those rivalries, you know, remember some great battles up in Meadville and going back up to Worcester, although we've played them in the past. You know, Hiram and Oberlin, they've been opponents that have been hit and miss, you know, over the last probably 10 years. You play them once over the last 10 years. It's hard to imagine that they're in your conference. So I think we're going to get a truer champion when you look at it, that the top four teams that make the tournament will have earned it, you know, because they've had to play everybody.
You have a great assistant coaching staff, highlighted, of course, by former major leaguer Rick White. Not too many staffs in the entire country can say that they have a former major leaguer on their coaching staff. Talk a little bit about the guys who are helping you out and what their roles will be this upcoming season.
Yeah, you talked about Rick being our pitching coach, and he's done a great job with our guys. I think getting them to understand that, you know, you got to put your time in, you know. You can't just show up and, you know, in a few weeks get your arm ready to go. I know he's always had to, you know, take a good month or two to really work his arm into shape, work out, do all those little things that are going to help you prepare. You know, having him around to help our guys out is going to be, you know, tremendous for us, that, you know, they get to learn, you know, from a guy that has put in his time and did it consistently over, you know, a long stretch of years, to really teach them, you know, to do the things in the weight room, you know, to treat pitching like hitting. You got to throw to get better. You know, it can't be that, you know, you're set to throw your bullpen here and, you know, the drills and everything else that you're going to do, or those drills really don't matter. It's, you got to put your time in right there. And really take to heart what you're trying to learn. And I think trying to get the consistency back that we didn't have last year as far as throwing strikes, throwing to contact. You know, we're really focusing with our pitchers of throwing strikes, say, hit it. You know, and I know that's what, you know, he did in most of his career. Our other coaches, Coach Gold is back for, gosh, I think it's his seventh or eighth year now, with helping with our hitters and our infielders. Looking for some, you know, more consistency out of our infielders, especially with some young guys that we may have to throw out there. I think we've done a good job in preparing those guys and getting them to do things the right way. You know, he's done a great job, I think, of just trying to get our guys to work hard every moment they get a ground ball. And then we've got a new guy, Tim LeBolt, who's come on just this year as a Denison grad, is helping out with our outfielders that, you know, I've done our outfield stuff in the past, and, you know, I was a catcher, so trying to kind of teach a foreign position to me. He's done a great job trying to prepare our guys. Even though, you know, you can't get outside and take ground balls, they can do a lot of drill work that will help them get prepared when they're down in Florida.
One more question, Coach, before we let you go here. You and Rick had been working awfully hard during the offseason, not only to get your baseball team prepared, but also to organize a nice local youth tournament in and around Springfield. I know it's gotten some local publicity. Perhaps you could talk more about that and give us your thoughts on what should be a great event for not only Springfield, but the entire Southwest Ohio in terms of youth baseball.
You know, we were approached in the fall, kind of late summer, fall, with one of the local teams that, you know, they were frustrated that they keep always having to go away for all these big tournaments to qualify for USSSA World Series or other big events. And, you know, we just thought it would be, you know, better if they could stay here. And as with many teams around here, we can attract them to stay then too, because it's not just one team, it's a lot of teams. There's a lot of you know, teams that travel around and you know, they're going to Indianapolis or going to, you know, out of state to go try to qualify for games and or for tournaments. And we just thought, you know, hey, this might be a great thing for us to do. Rick and his time with Major League Baseball at the end of his career set up a nonprofit organization that was Little League restoration projects that a lot of major leaguers would try to do to help out local fields and organizations to rebuild or refurbish, you know, depleted, you know, ballparks. And that's kind of our long range goal with this whole thing is to get, you know, a few years of tournaments in there to where we can start helping out some of the local ballparks. And, you know, a lot of money sometimes are not thrown into there to keep those up like they should be, that hopefully maybe baseball will turn around. I think a lot of city and even rural organizations, Little League, Pee Wee, have really, you know, been depleted and diminished over the years. And we're just trying to hopefully with this try to spark the interest of having tournaments here, help out the city, just economy, you know. I mean, think that you might have 72 teams for baseball, 72 teams for a softball tournament, all the people that will come with them, staying in hotels, eating in the restaurants, you know, buying gas around here. It just will, I think, will help, you know, the economy out around here as well and local businesses. But, you know, it's something we have to build on. Obviously, this is the first year, and things are going, you know, very well right now with it. We've gotten great local support with things. And, you know, hopefully this will be something that's will be here for many years to come, but something that we can hopefully help out with the local organizations. And then maybe baseball will turn around again, and there'll be more interest, and it'll stay – they'll stay interested through their high school careers then, and who knows, maybe it'll help us out then too.
Well, best of luck in your venture, Coach, and best of luck this season. We're looking forward to the Tigers kicking off their season.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, that is Head Coach Jay Lewis joining us here on the Tiger Sports Network, taking a look at the 2010 season for the baseball team.